Shavuos Avreichim on page Samach Dalet, the Rebbe is completing this part of the of Parakei, which is reminding us of the tachlis of what the Sefer is about and the conditions for being able to be influenced and affected by the Sefer, that should have hashpa on us. Of a certain way of approaching this limud, and the most basic requirement the Rebbe says is to be an ish oved, somebody who's an ish oved is misyageya bavadasa. That's what we were talking about at the end last week. All the eitzes in the world, all the different types of strategy and advice that have been provided by the Chachamim and by the Tzaddikim throughout the generations are not there to replace Mesiris Nefesh and Yigia and hard work. And unless a person's an Oved who is seeking to become Dovuk Bashar, none of the Eitzes, none of the Tachbulas are going to ultimately change him. So on the bottom of page Samach Dalet, just completing this part of the Sefer, Aval Oyelucha Shim Kolze Shein Raya Ata Oyschav Lo Ish Hashem Minut Isbayish. So the Rebbe just concludes by saying that there's nobody that's watching you, nobody that sees you now, and there's nobody for whom you would be embarrassed or ashamed. That even if you're a person who is honestly seeking to know those things in your life that need to be corrected, your chisrainus, we still can't be certain that ultimately what I'm going to tell you is going to have an impact upon your life, is actually going to affect you. The Rebbe says, I'm not saying that you will intentionally just throw away everything that I'm saying. What does it mean? What's the mistake or the accident? It's unintentional. What does that mean? There's something in the nature of a person that draws him away from this derech hayosha that is being taught. Without even realizing that you got lost. Sibas riyoscha musulafis nemezus b'gemara. This is hinted to this problem. It's hinted to in the Gemara. The Gemara in Ksubas, the machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, by Kalanoi, by Chsuda, Kalakameshihi. So Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, according to what you're saying, that in other words, to accurately and in a brutally honest way to evaluate just the metzias of the kala kamoishihi, right? Exactly kamoishihi, not without any embellishments, without any flattery, kamoishihi. So ledivreichem, Beis Hillel says, according to you, Beis Shammai, would you say, Mishalokach Mekach Raman Hashuk, a person made a mistake and he bought some schayri, he bought some merchandise in the market. It's Mekach Ra. That's not good. It's something which is not good. So, according to you, Mishalokach Mekach Raman Hashuk, Yishab Chenobain of Yiganenobainav. Would you, if the person's already stuck with this, and the person bought this, would you try to make it something which is more worthwhile in the eyes of the buyer? Would you praise that, or would you say, "Ach, what a, can't believe it! The stupid thing you bought and you got ripped off and it's worthless and so on and so forth." What would you say? Have you amishab chenabena? It's a midah In other words, if somebody already bought something, so you say something nice about it. You praise it. It should become, in his eyes, something which is good. The commissioner from Perish Rashi. Rashi explains over there that the kinder, the one who bought this, should feel good and that he has nachas ruach. The Lama who writes says sheshab chenabeinav. And why does the kinder? Why is it so important to the buyer that other people should say, "Wow, you bought such a beautiful thing," right? Or in the case of the kala, "Wow, what a beautiful kala!" Why is it so important to the kinder, to the buyer? Said that you should admire, you should show the person how much you admire what he bought. You should show him how good it is what he got, even though it's not really worthy of such admiration. But yet Basil says that's something that one should do. It's a good thing to do. It's a nice thing to do. It's a midah d'acharet. Why is that? So the Rebbe explains, "Min the shekain hu tivay shel ish." The derech eretz here is very clear. The nature of a person is such. Next page, shechavalai la'abed es haynai. It hurts a person. It hurts a person to think that what, that he wasted his money. It hurts him to think that he wasted his money. He bought something, you know, it's no return. He can't exchange it, he can't return it, he has something. So Basil says that there are cherets to be mishabeach the thing because he spent the money on it. And therefore the kaina has a chiyas when people are admiring and praising what he bought. Even though in mitzias it's not really worthy of such admiration. Because it's chaval le'la'abed es haynai. It's chaval for a person to have wasted his money, to have lost his money. So the Rebbe explains, "Imhu hain kesef, ein roitza la'abdai b'poyal sheyeri l'timyon." Even when it comes to something like a couple of dollars, even when it comes to a cheap something, no big deal, still even there, it's the teva, it's the nature of a person that he doesn't want to feel that he threw away this money, that it was stum for nothing. He doesn't want to feel that way. And if that's the case, the Rebbe says, he says, we understand that when it comes to something like this, where the value of something, the value and the yoker, how precious or how valuable something is, tifartaihi, that it's a person's pride. It's the tiferes of a person, that he made a wise decision in a kala, that he made a wise decision in an item that he bought, in a house that he bought, in a thing that he bought. It's the tiferes of a person. It touches upon the very point of his feeling of pride in himself. L'moshal kli mitzuyu b'tziyurim yofim v'chadoyma sheyikra sakli lo be'etzem hi ki leishal zor v'leishal kesef hu rak tiferes tziyurim v'yikra. So he says that, for instance, there could be something, a kli that's painted with nice b'tziyurim yofim, it has nice drawings, nice paintings on it, so that the kli itself, the actual, you know, whatever it is, the dish is very ornate and beautiful. So the dish itself, it's not, its value is not be'etzim in the plate. Kilo shel zavol shel kesef, it's not gold, it's not silver. Rak tiferes tziyura v'yikraso, but the drawings give it a quality of beauty, and that's no. Even though the plate is not much of a plate, it's a dollar or two, but it has something special, and the plate is proud of the drawing that it has, and the owner is proud of that. That's the tiferes of the plate. Gam kein l'yitzel ha'aved. It becomes something where there's any tiferes, where there's any yoyker, where there's anything that causes a person to feel a little bit of pride. that this is something which is special, anything like that, the person doesn't want to lose it. Lo yitzel abed, he doesn't want to lose it. And if a person comes along and says, oh, where'd you get this ugly plate, right? This is really ugly. It's worthless. That hain, that value, that until now was his teferis, was his pride. Oived ata. It's thrown away. It's lost. The nafshoi maraloi alav, and there's a feeling of sadness, of bitterness that he has, that until now this was something which was a teferis, of something which caused him to feel a certain pride in himself and a certain happiness with this item. And if, when we're talking about a physical object, kasha kolkach be'enei ha'ish she is ganena v'yabed is yikras ha'enei bari. If, when it comes to a physical object, it's very difficult for a person to accept criticism, to see the preciousness or the value of his investment, as small as the investment was, but to see that destroyed because of another person's criticism. Kava chaymer, uben benoy shel kava chaymer, how much more so? Shekoshel la'abed is hain atzmusa. That the hardest thing in the world is for a person to lose hain atzmusa, the value of his very existence, the value of his very life, of who he is. Vesikrosa, v'sifarta shel atzmusa. And the value, the preciousness, and the pride, and the splendor of his own existence. It's very, very, very hard. Ubenim yesh raya, benim ein raya. Benim hamiyasa oimed negdo machris estechachta, whether or not there's anybody that's actually seeing you that's giving you the musa. Right? Now, as you're standing, he says, Ben, if you hamiyasa oimed negdo, let's say somebody's criticizing you, and he's standing right in front of you. O machris estechachta. Somebody standing right in front of you and criticizing you. He's not criticizing your plate. He's not criticizing your car, your house, something that you own, which itself is hurtful. But he's criticizing you. He's telling you that there's something about your life that is seriously, seriously wrong. Says Bein Imrag Derech Kuntrei Say Loichesh Leibelibay. Whether it's only by way of his kuntres, the Rebbe saying about once somebody writes a sefer, by way of that sefer, you're not standing in front of the Rebbe. The Rebbe's not actually here, but you're looking at his sefer, and that sefer is whispering into your heart. It's telling you something. It's telling you that there's something wrong with your life. It's not telling you there's something. It's not just telling you that there's something that you bought, that you have for a half hour, and you spent $10 on. That's a waste. A risk of life and geld, money thrown away. But he's telling you that you could have 20, 30, 40, 50 years of your life as a risk of life, thrown away of an entire life. And a certain thing that you think is a big mile, and you mispoir with a certain opinion about life, or a certain way that you have of presenting yourself to the world. And someone comes along, either face to face with the Musa, or even by way of a sefer that a person is reading, and he hears that the author of that sefer, who is somebody we understand, the Mechaber is usually a great person, and the author of that sefer is telling you, is whispering into your heart and saying to you that the etzem, in the essence of who you are, and in the story of your life, there's been a terrible mistake that you've made, and to look back on a lifetime that was filled with mistakes and missed opportunities and complete and total distortions of reality. That's a very hard thing. Benkach ben kach yesh kosh le lavrech ben Torah v'chassid. So if we take somebody like you, in other words, the person he thought would be the typical person who's reading this sefer, a young man, a ben Torah, a chassid, it's already in his own mind, it's something which is absolutely accepted by himself regarding how he evaluates himself, that he's a chassid and he's a ben Torah, and everybody who knows him as a chassid. So to come along and to write a sefer and to point out things, La'abed is hayna atzmusay zeh, ves yikar chasidusay. To throw away, to destroy the value of him that he sees in himself, and the yikar chasidusay, and the preciousness of the chasidus that he feels that he's attained for himself. Ulahaskim shayda derech rav mimenu, for him to agree with me, the author of the sefer, that he's got a long way to go till he could actually be called the true chassid. There's a long way to go. V'lirayis achshav hamachshavos einan kol kach kedoshes kifi shechashav, for him to admit that his thoughts are not as holy as he thinks they are. And that the chassidus, the chassidus that he thought he had, Sha'ila b'kirbad leva shemayim, and he thought that this fire is rising up to the heart of heaven. Loi eish, loi lavo. For me to come along and say, there's no fire, there's no flame. Even a simple feeling of excitement in Avos Hashem, Harotzen, Hayir of Yahava, of fear and of love, Shemisragish behem kepam bevam, that you have occasionally, Tzvicha is tikun rav. All of that needs a great deal of repair. Ula is ato yispalel poshet, ula yislavus rak biyegiyah. And that now you should concentrate on davening and pshitas with what? With a lot of yigia, with putting a lot of koiches, a lot of hard work into lifting up the tefillah. So the Rebbe says, Lachain, therefore, because of all of this, in other words, you're going to see me as someone that's coming along and saying it's a Mecca chara that you have. You have bad merchandise, bad schaira. Your chassidus is not much of a chassidus. Your davening is not much of a davening. Yeah, his slava is not his slava, it's not even his rakshas. Your mind is not what you think it is. Your avoid is not what you think it is. And that's when a person learns a sefer, so he could talk about it, he could be mafalfel and how interesting it is and the chidushim and so on and so forth. But when the sefer is coming along and telling you, if you look at it in the way that the author intended, which is, if there's something that's not right that I'm trying to help you to correct. So that feeling, or recognizing in the sefer that there's something that's not right in your life, that hein, that value that you have for yourself, and how you've committed yourself to certain opinions and certain ideas, which everybody knows how many times it happens that you're in the middle of an argument and you know that you're saying something so ridiculous and so absurd, but you're committed to it. You're not going to back out at this point. And that's only after like being 30 seconds in an argument. You're not going to back out. I'm talking about 30, 40, 50, 60 years. 30 seconds in an argument, you're saying something, and the other person is destroying everything you're saying and pointing out how you're just a total numbskull and you don't know what you're talking about. But you're already invested 30 seconds. You can't back out. You feel, what am I going to do? I'm stuck. So I'm going to keep on saying dumb things. Or you know what you usually do? You just start yelling, right? So you yell, in other words, I'm going to defeat the person a different way. Since I can't defeat him with my svar, because my svar is obviously not a svar, so I'm just going to overpower him with my personality. I'm going to overpower him. Just yell at him and insult him. And this way, I'm the menatzeach. I was victorious. Akadekach, does a person hold on to the, does a person hold on to that, to the hain, to that value of a commitment to a certain way of looking at things, and a certain way of being meshabeach himself, of seeing himself in that way. Therefore, he says, "Lachein cheshashani shetishma v'loy tishma lano." You'll hear what I'm saying, but you're not going to hear what I'm saying. You're going to hear, you know, it's you. You'll say it's interesting. You'll say it's interesting, and it's nice cipher, and it's got a lot of interesting things going on in it. But v'loy tishma lano. But as far as actually implementing these things in your life and hearing them, as far as how do they reflect upon your life? I'm afraid you're not going to listen. Efshir, it's possible, Yigaru Dvarenu is Libcha. Maybe it's going to cause some sort of a Yigaru Dvarenu is Libcha, it's going to agitate your heart. It's going to, you know, if it's something that's going to get you annoyed or agitate your heart. It's going to stir things up inside of you. Alva Kalacha Yad Tidcha Isa. But then, in a very, very, in a very casual way, tidcha isam. You'll be daicha what I'm saying. Tidcha isam. This is what I'm afraid of. You'll just, you know, you'll cast it aside. The sofik is a giroi vesmates erus ashesivu b'cha b'kritza seinaim b'schoik shel bittel. And you will just cast away and reject a little bit, maybe, of spiritual agitation and his erus, with a wink of the eye, some gesture, with a schoik shel bittel, yesterday I was, there was a chevra that I was learning with, from the second chelik of Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. So I'm learning this with this chevra a few times, and one of the fellows, a very, very smart guy, very nice guy, so he's saying, you know, and he's a Ben Tari, he's a learned yeshivas, good yeshivas his whole life. He says, what is this, some kind of brainwashing? What's going on over here? Ben Tari says this thing, is this brainwashing? What is he talking about, how I'm supposed to, you know, the whole thing about Bilvavi is, of course, is exactly what he's talking about, is to come to that recognition that if a person doesn't have a chush, doesn't have a feeling in his heart for the Rebbeinu Shlomo, so then he's not the kind of tachlis of his life. The tachlis of a life of a Jew is a vaisidbak, is to be attached to God. We're going to say in a couple of minutes, v'haftas v'shamakecha b'chol v'alcha b'chol nafshu v'chol medecha, to love God with your entire soul. So here we are, from ranging from whatever age to whatever age, you know, never once in our lives do we don't even know what it means to love God. Oh, you could say all interesting things about it, and so on and so forth, and you could say a nice vart about what it means to Ahavas, but to feel Ahavas Hashem. Or like he talks about over there, there's a chush, if a person has to, what he's explaining over there is that, what does it mean, amuna? When it comes to something outside of oneself, somebody could ask you, do you see that? Do you see that table? You either see it or you don't see it. Or do you feel the table? You can touch it or you don't touch it. That's outside of yourself. But oy vavoy, how sad, isn't it sad if a person asks you, do you have a foot? It's not the same thing. If someone asks, is there a table in the room, and you have to look and say, oh yeah, there is a table, there isn't one. But you have to go, or it's dark, and you feel around and say, oh yeah, there's a table. What happens if someone says, do you have a foot? And you say, hold on a second, you check under the blanket, right? Or you check, say, hold on a second. And you look and you say, oh, I have a foot. Or if you say, or what about if you say something else, like, I heard from my Zayde that he had a foot, and he gave me a Yerusha, I also have a foot. So he says, Achmanis. It means that, God forbid, you're paralyzed, right? I heard a Maisa that I have a foot. So he says, all of Yiddishkeit, he says, yeah, we have a Messiah. We heard from our fathers, now Zaydis, now the Zaydis, the what, that there's a Baruch Shalom, there's a Torah, and that the Baruch Shalom exists. That's what we heard. Right? He says, you see, when it comes to a hand or a foot, if somebody asks you, do you have a hand or a foot, if you're not paralyzed, and if you're healthy, thank God, and everything's connected, It's not like, God forbid, you're lying on the bed and there's you and then there's a foot that's lying next to you, but it's connected to you. Then you don't have to. You don't have to see it, and you don't have to. And you don't have to hear stories about it that you got it in Yerusha or Messiah, you know, from a parent, from a grandparent. How do you know that you have a foot? You feel that you have a foot. The question is an absurd question. You feel that you have a foot. So the whole avoda of a yid, he's explaining there in the middle of our reading, is that, and it says by the Baruch Shalom, soil of avi lekim, the Baruch Shalom is my heart, is Hashem. Hashem's not there, up here, around. Hashem is soil of avi. He's me. When it comes to a table, a chair, it's outside of you. So something that's outside of yourself, there are ways that Hashem gave us that we could see whether it exists with the eyes, with the ears, by touching, by hearing about, if it's something outside of you. But something that is you yourself, if it's you yourself, it's attached to you, it's part of you, it can be that it's something that you can only hear about or see or touch. It has to be something that you feel. So what I said to this fellow, says, what is this, all this stuff is feeling? So I said, it hurts, no? This is exactly what the Rebbe is talking about. It hurts to hear that. Because here we are, Jews that are Shemitah and Mitzvahs, we're Orthodox, we always vote Orthodox, whatever that means. And, you know, we try to do the right stuff. We try to live the right kind of lives. And we all profess that we believe in God. But we don't feel Him in our lives. We don't feel Him in such a way that it's not like something separate that I heard about or something that I'm trying to see visible evidence of His existence. But it's me. The Baruch Shalom is me. We're inseparable. I can feel my foot because it's attached to me. And if I don't feel my foot, it's because it's detached from me. So to come along and to tell a 40-year-old man, if you don't feel God, it's because you're detached from Him. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. It's much, much worse than telling somebody that you bought an ugly thing. What kind of necktie is that? What kind of necktie is that? And none of us would ever do that, to tell somebody. You ever see sometimes people were... Years ago, before the shul, so I was asked to speak someplace in the neighborhood, a very wealthy neighborhood, from Lava Malka. And they called him Lava Malka. It was a Matzah Shabbos thing, I don't know. So okay, so I went and I spoke there, and the guy that was introducing me is a very, very rich, powerful guy, and the whole thing was just like comedy and derision, you know. He's like Jay Leno or Johnny Carson. That he was getting up there. Not first of all, the whole idea of an introduction is done from the Sitracha. What can you do? It's all just the Sitracha. If somebody doesn't know the person's name, just say this is Moshe Kapaya, and Shana say Shalom, and then you get up and you talk. The whole thing of introductions is all from the guy. But aside from that, the whole thing was not, it was about himself. It was about himself. And then he went into like a 3-4 minute thing, making fun of my, you know, of the way that I look, of my Bekish and my Strimal. And I was laughing, and you know, about he was, and I got done looking at him, because, you know, while he was talking, I'm looking at this, and this guy was wearing the craziest tie I ever saw in my life. The craziest tie I ever saw in my life. And while he was saying all the stuff about, like, you know, he was making, like, yeah, good-natured fun, but he was making fun, and the Olam was laughing, and he was making fun about how, you know, like the fancy Hasidic clothing and so on, and, you know, he was making fun. And I was mamish, like, looking at this tie, and I had, like, in those two, three minutes, it was probably less than that, I had, like, 50 gewaldige comebacks, you know what I'm saying? And that necktie, I had, like, and I was, like, looking at it. And, yeah, you know, it was, like, puffed up, and you have some of these guys that wear a matching tie with little things coming out from the pocket. You know what I'm talking about. That's like a chashuv, the thing that comes out from the pocket, like you're leaking. So, and he's got this, like, it's puffed up, and he's got, like, a pin, you know, the thing coming out. I didn't. But you know, when a person when a person invests of himself, I'm thinking, why would that make? Because that's not there. It's not their heritage. A person has something. This guy, when he bought that necktie, when I get a bekish, I don't spend more than 30 seconds on it. I just, you know, you take something from the rack and finish. This guy, when he bought his necktie, that was Navaida. It was Navaida. See, he went to the store because he's already got like 100 neckties right in his closet, and he had to go, and he's got to match it up with a certain suit, he's got to match his shoes, right? He matches his glasses or something, I don't know, whatever, his contacts. And when he went to buy that necktie, he was a big Avoider. He put his karchus into it. He could have spent some time working on that. And it hurts. Anytime, that's what Basil is saying, a mekachra, you're going to say that it's a mekachra that you got. And it was so ugly, this night, it was so ugly, the necktie. And it was with one word you could just show all the people in the room that this is the did you ever see such a shmata to wrap around the Jew's neck like this in your life, such a shmata? But, and don't get me wrong, I appreciate a nice tie. If it's a nice looking tie, I appreciate it. And sometimes in the shul I've told someone, it's a nice tie. I like a nice tie. But this was the ugliest thing I ever saw. But you understand, if you say a heart like that, it's such a little of a person. On what? On nothing. On garnished. On some silliness that a person wraps around his neck. But for a person, it's a bittle of the who you are. Because anything that you worked on, even in such an Irish guy, even that you stood in the store for 15 minutes and you're looking over ties, whatever it is, a half hour, whatever the guy spends on it, looking in his clothing. But it's people see that as something which is important to themselves, and you have to be careful. So how could we? That's what the Rebbe's saying. He says, you know, and that's why I was telling this yid yesterday in the shiur that Rabbi Vavi Mishkan Evna. It's very, very hard for a person to hear, to learn a sefer. You see, the problem with a sefer like Rabbi Vavi Mishkan Evna, and with Hacharos Avreichim, even more so with Bilvavi, because Hacharos Avreichim, they're still mixed in a lot of chazals and a lot of tires from tzaddikim, and you could come away from a day of Hacharos Avreichim without changing anything, but still saying, oh, this, like, I heard like this, and it says like that. You know, it's interesting. From Bilvavi Mishkan Evna, you can't walk away like that. What are you going to say? There's a vart to say from Bilvavi Mishkan Evna. If you learned it, there's no vart to say, because it's all one vart. It's Uvay Sidbag, it's Amuna. And what it means to feel the Rebbe Shalom. So that's very unsettling. It's very unnerving to learn a sefer like that. Even though every single child in every yeshiva from first grade should be taught that sefer. From first grade. In a way that they could understand. In a way that it should be made understandable. I mean, they can make a children's medrash, a little medrash says they can make a little bilvavi. Right? Why not? But it should be required from first grade. They would ban. Nobody will learn it. They won't do it. Maybe here and there, Rebbe would do it, but Islam is not going to be curriculum. But you know why? Because there's nothing to say. They can't come home with their bilvavi notes. They can't come home with to say over at the table, I learned today that you're supposed to feel God. And that the tzaddik who wrote that sefer said it in 400 different ways. But it's the same thing. It's all one vart. It's all one vart. Because all of Yiddishkeit is that one vart, right? It's all one vart. It's a vaisidbak. It's the whole Yiddishkeit. What he's saying is the whole Yiddishkeit. And he's saying it in such a way where you're looking and you're seeing, wow, there's not one Maharal, there's not one Tanya, there's not one Svasem, there's not one Gra, there's not one, like, putting psukim together, neat thing. It's all just boom, boom, boom. Each sentence is in the easiest language saying, your life has been totally worthless. You never once, for a minute, lived the tachlis of being a Jew, for a minute. Because our lives are a bunch of varts put together. You know what I mean? Our lives are like a bunch of etluch that are put together. They're put together how? By time. Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Shabbos, and each day is like a vart. Monday's a vart, Tuesday's a vart. Each day's a vart. It's not, it's a hamlotze, a nice vart. If it was a day that was like a better day, and it was, so then, you know, and you went to Minyan on time, and you learned a little bit good, so that was a good vart. Then it wasn't such a good al degedei, it's a schlechte vart. It wasn't such a good vart. It's not a good vart. But it's all vertlach. There's no hemshich. There's nothing that's binding together. There's nothing that is weaving together all those vertlach. It's just like dangling vertlach of who you are.
this was a good, this was not, this was, there's not one underlying theme of who you are that binds everything together, which is what? Which is Emunah. Which is Emunah. That's what the Sefer is, that's what the Sefer is about. And that's what the Bilvavi is about. The Rebbe wrote this in those years, at that time in Warsaw, and he was addressing a certain Olam, and the Rebbe, even though Chavis the Talmidim is even less complicated, right? But the Rebbe wrote it because he certainly was afraid that he wasn't going to have Bechlal, the ear of a sharp, you know, Polish Chazit. Already now, the Bilvavi said, forget it, it's ridiculous, we just gotta do something, it's an emergency, right? It's an emergency, we just have to talk, let's drop all the Marals and the Chazals for now and just get straight to the point of what all Chazal is about, what every Maral is saying. Every Maral is saying the same thing, every Chazal is saying the same thing, every Pasuk is saying the same thing, it's a voice Hidba. It's to feel the Rabbi Shalom, it's to feel the Rabbi Shalom, to have a relationship with him. Every single tefillah, every word of davening is saying the same thing. Everything. We'll just malbish it in different ways. Every shiur is just, every shiur that I ever gave, that you ever gave, any of you ever gave Torah anywhere, it's all the same vart. It's just being malbish it. Now it's taking place in Parshas V'yera. Next week we'll say the vart in Parshas Chayesar. And then we'll say it in Toldos. And then when you sing down for the Gemara, now you're going to say it in Bav Metzia. And then you're going to say it in Bav Akam. What are you talking about? What is Bav Metzia? What does Shlom Arzim Metalis have to do with Vayu Chayesar? What does Chayesar have to do with, you know, like Rabbi Kiva's drosha? What does one thing have to do with the other? Ma'inyan Shemitah Yitzel HaSinah. What are you talking about? 15 minutes ago we're learning Shnayim Arzim Atalus. Shnayim Aduk Mishtar. 15 minutes ago we're learning Kol Dalam Gvar. Now we're talking about what? Sari Menu and how old she was and Avram Avinu Zok and Bavi Yomel. Ma'inyan Shemitah Yitzel HaSinah. One vart. It's all one vart. And that's what the grandfather of the Chidah, Chesed Avram, maybe Avram Azulayim, he speaks about murdik things. I mean, the klipas of Torah, the klipas of learning, with all the kashis and the terutzim to break through the klipas and to get to that one vart, which is what? Ubay said, but Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad. So for 40-50 years, you're hearing all the vertlach of Yiddishkeit, and every single vart of Yiddishkeit inside of it is Hashem Echad. And someone comes along and tells you, listen, Rabbi Yisai, all the vertlach are beautiful. It's all beautiful. But, you know, we're forgetting what the tachlis of Torah is, what it means, what's Torah. There's a vice hidbat, what's Torah is Hashem Echad. And that you have a chush for the Baruch Shalom, and that there's a hergish, and that you could be dovek to Hashem, and you could be mekayim the mitzvah of ahavt l'recha kamaycha. You can be mekayim the v'ahavtes Hashem l'kecha be'emes, or b'leiv samim, to be mekayim the mitzvah. That's the vart. All the other things are just dressings of the vart. It's all halboshes of the vart. And if you forget the vart itself, and you get lost in the dressings. So then you hear somebody come along and tell you. What are you talking about? Someone comes along and writes a sefer, tells you, gives a shiur, and says, what are you talking about? What is all this? Can't you get back to discussing the machlokes of poskim regarding, you know, abortions on Shavuot Shel Pesach? Look at the subjects that are like the subjects of most, you know, lectures. Don't get me wrong. The union of abortions is the beginning in halacha. And a person that learns Torah, that's one of the things that you cover when you're learning Torah. You try to get to that. I mean, there are a lot of things to get to before that union, right? But of course, they know that they have a captive audience if you talk about abortions on Shavuot Shel Pesach. Ooh, what's Shavuot Shel Pesach? So that'll be interesting for the Shavuot Shel Pesach evening lecture series with a scholar in residence, you know. So if you talk about that, maybe you'll get, you know, some people come out and they'll drag themselves and hear about how it was an abortion on Shavuot Shel Pesach. But you could forget what's the vart. What's the vart itself? And I mentioned yesterday that I always feel this way, that I mean, there's a chaskis, you know, a person has to take for himself. At least I take for myself. So sometimes, like when it's the end of the summer, so I'm away a lot, and then I And then coming back, I said to my wife, you know, it's so gewaldig to come back. First needs a little bit, but then to come back and with the chev and everything. But the only thing that causes every year, I'm admitting to you, I have like a chalishas adas. I always say to my wife, I'm looking forward to the year. My mom's looking forward to the year. How am I going to come up with like 4,000 more tires? Because you know that's what it means. That's what it means. Like another 4,000 tires. Whatever it is, this and that, and it's not just to try to say we see I did the Shema, even at this time for that person, or that had to say 4,000 tires. I said, I don't have the kashas anymore. You know, I just got to go take it easy and become a lawyer like my mother wanted. I make her happy. Finally, give her some nachas. She has nachas, but it's illegal nachas.
No clients.
Yeah, no clients. So that's it's an avoid, and the ischaskis is always the same as chaskis. The ischaskis is that to remember, of course, that first of all that a person has to daven. It's not the nini of saying, it's the nini of tefillah. That a person, that any one of us that's trying to mishpia and give over Torah, that there's to have siyata d'shmaya, that the Eibushter should help. But that's not all. That's the aside. But to know, and this is the chizik that it's. It's all the Baruch Shalom wants me to do is to say one vart. Just to say one vart. Ubay Sidba. So what's my, then what's the, just to say Ubay Sidba. But Emes is just one vart. It's about half the Shamal Kech. That's it. Half the Shamal Kech. So then you just have to say it in different ways. You have to show how Ubay Sidba try to give over Ubay Sidba from Parashas Lech Lecha. And then to get up the next time and say, "Well, by Sidbuk and Parshas Vayeru, tomorrow morning, if I'm going to talk tomorrow morning, so I might be talking about, I don't know what I'm going to be, what it's going to be, but talk about something that you're not going to hear the words Dveikus Bashem, you're not going to hear the words Vahavtas Hashem Lekacha. It's going to be about something that's something else. No, it's only a halbosha for that one vart, Uvay Sidbuk." Is that we should together become dveikim b'Hashem, that we should become yidden that are dvukim b'Hashem isbarach, that oyhave Hashem. That's the whole tachlis. But if a person lives his life and he gets lost in the vertloch, and then someone comes along like the Sefer Bilvavi Mishkan Evna comes along, or the Rebbe comes along and says to you, it's all wrong. I mean, your tilm is right, you're putting it on, all that, and the words you're saying in the siddur, that's all good. But you're missing the point. See, so you're telling me that for 50 years I'm missing the point? What do you think? For 50 years I'm missing the point? And no one ever told me. You came along and you're telling me that I'm missing the point. And you put your arm around the guy, like the Rebbe is putting his arms around us and saying, everybody's been telling you you're missing the point. You're not able to hear it. You're not able to hear because you can't hear that you spent your life in Vertloch and without the Vart, just in the other stuff, just in the embellishments, in the window dressings, but never, ever, ever. You never, ever. You're a Ma'aviv Sedra, and you could say over every Rashi in Vayera, and you don't know what Rashi is saying. Or you could be a huge Lamdan, and you went through the whole Shas, and you don't know what the Shas is saying. You don't know what the Torah is saying. For a person to hear that, that's what the Rebbe is saying, that he's chayshesh, that he's afraid. But after everything, and even if you have a little bit of a siris, in the end you might just wink your eyes a little bit, make a face, and laugh. And it's chayshel bit like, you know, there was no Yiddishkeit till the Pizetzin. There was no Yiddishkeit till Aksharis Avreichim. And all of a sudden, he's talking to us about hergish and about chush, which is the same thing as Bilvag, about having a hergish for the Baruch Shalom. And being Jews that are misraqshim and our avoda. So it's the Rebbe says, I'm afraid that people are going to be mevatelit. They're going to be mevatelit. Not because the Rebbe is nervous. He's not going to, he's not going to sell the sefer. This wasn't a money making thing. But it's chaval. Avol im leiv shamei alecha, the end of the page. But if you have a heart that's listening. Hakshev u'shma. Now listen carefully. Lula Yadaiti is Kishrenis Aboch of Avraham Ben Toiv Chosid. The Rebbe says, if I didn't know the true kaiches of a bocher and avreich, a ben Torah, a chosid, asher levavu mishtokek al Hashem, whose heart is longing for God, the tzaikas nafshim yimamakim, that the screaming of his soul is from the depths of who he is, karveni elecha Hashem, that in the depths of the heart there is this crying out, karveni elecha Hashem, Rabbi Shalom, draw me near you, bring me close to you. Enepesekis. If I thought for a moment that screaming of the soul of a yid is something which stops. He says, but the Rebbe's saying no. The Rebbe's saying, I believe in the unceasing, in the endless and infinite longing of a Jewish heart. That underneath all of the klipas and all of the ego and all of your investments in self, in your image and so on, underneath all of that, there's a never-ending cry, Karveni Elecha Hashem. Karveni Elecha Hashem, Rabbi Hashem, bring me near you. Ki Ozlo Hebeisil Dabra Lecha, then I wouldn't spend all this time talking to you. Ki Ozlo Hebeisil Dabra Lecha, if I didn't believe in that, I wouldn't go on. The Lord, they were asking him, Michal Kaldorf, and I wouldn't demand anything of you. I wouldn't expect anything of you. Well, the Medrash Rabbah Pashas Nasi Yisa Ein Mechazik Ela Esa Mechuzakim. Chazal say to give chizik is only somebody, it's only to give chizik to someone who can receive chizik. In other words, who's worth being mechazik. Where are you going to go? You're going to see a fly on the table and say, you have to be mechazik yourself. That, you know, even though your life is short, make it meaningful. Make it meaningful. Fly to those places that no fly ever flew to before. You're crazy. You're mechazik, mechazik. To be mechazik, the one who's open to and is able to have chizik because there's something inside of him to be mechazik. Vein mezarez na elam mezarozen. To be mezarez is only somebody who has it in him to do things. Ad kanos hamakasu chazal say b'emes atim and amuchzokin. Therefore, the Rebbe says, after all that I've been saying, and all of this very 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 sharp critique of who we are as Jews, the Rebbe is saying, sof kol sof, the bottom line is, I believe in every Jew, the Rebbe says. I believe in every Yid. And therefore, every Yid, he says, be'emes atem and amuchzokin v'atem and amuzirazin. Therefore, you're somebody who ultimately can receive chizik. And you're ultimately somebody that can be mizdareis, in other words, who can be motivated in his avodas Hashem. Because I believe that there's a tzaika belay, that there is that outcry of the heart of Kaveni Alech Hashem, underneath all the stuff. Aval yesh na'ish, sheyesh lo eish, ven yedei eich l'shamish bo. You have a person who has a fire, and he doesn't know how to use the fire. There's a fire, but he doesn't know how to use it. And yedei eich l'shamish bo. Va'oich les ma'acholov, imu v'sholem v'karim, he eats his food, Imuvu Shalom Vikaram. There's a fire. He has a stove. He doesn't know how to use it. It's hard to imagine, I'm sure, in the Rebbe's days, how somebody couldn't figure out how to use a stove. Nowadays, you have to be like a physicist to figure out some of these things. So how come the stove's not going? It has a quadruple bypass system. Oh. How do you get it to heat food? You can't do that on Tuesdays. It was programmed by its creator. What do you mean? It's a stove. I have to make supper. No. Not on Tuesdays. What can you do about it? You can't do anything about it. It's programmed like that. What if I call the factory? You can't call there's only a computer when you call. Is there a website? There's a website, but the website was programmed not to come to you on Tuesdays. Right? So you can't do anything about it. So he says, what happens if a person has a fire? He's got a stove. And he could cook the most delicious food, but he doesn't know how to use it. That's who we are. We're Yidden. We're Jews. We have inside of us mamish and eish kaidish, a holy fire. But you don't know what to do. How do you get that? How do you turn that on? What do you do? How do you turn it on? What do you do with it? A yid is chamesh kodesh. It's a lahava, a fire. So you end up eating imachalim of v'shalim, imu v'shalim v'kar. You end up eating the things cold. The chedrei kar, and your room is cold. You don't know how to, because they used the stoves in those days were used for heating also, right? Regular stove. You don't know, so you're eating cold food in a cold room. Because you don't know how to make the fire. So you're eating cold food in a cold room. Not only that, he says, Bechedra Ka'atram Itzdanin, Apachoshach Yimashish. You don't have any fire. You don't know how to do it. So it's dark also. See, here you have the state of the art fire, oven. And you're sitting in your room eating cold food. It's freezing cold in the room because there's no fire. And it's dark because there's no flame that's shining. And you can live your whole life like that. Remember when we were learning from Rav Nosson Breslov, I mentioned that Rav Nosson said before Yontif Monday night that somebody came, a misnagid came to Rav Nosson and asked him, he says, what's the difference of Kosov? He says, a chassid puts on tefillin, a misnagid puts on tefillin. A chassid learns this sugi, and the misnagid learns this sugi. This one wears stitches, that one wears. What's the difference? So Rav Nosson said, you could have two soups, and they have the exact same ingredients. The chilik is that one is hot, the other is cold. One is hot, the other is cold. That's the difference. If you don't know how to use the fire, if you don't know how to turn the fire up, you could have it. Every Jew has it. There's no difference between one Jew and another. You're right. What is the difference between one Jew and another Jew? There's no difference. You're a Yid. There's no difference. With Muslims, there's no difference in a Chassid and a Snagid. What does that mean? There's no categories of Jews. You're a Jew. That means that you have all the machines. You have everything inside of you. What he was saying is that the way of the Baal Shem Tov was to turn up the heat. So the way of the Baal Shem Tov was to get the heat going again. The Vilna Gaon did it. The Vilna Gaon was on fire. Without Chassidus. Because it's all Yiddishkeit that's there. The focus of the Baal Shem Tov was how to do that for even simple Jews. How to turn up the fire. So what happens if a person has the fire, it's there, but he doesn't know how to get to it, he doesn't know how to turn it on, doesn't know how to use it. Not only that, it's more than that, the Rebbe says. Vayd lefomim, he says, Yeira b'isha lahavya taver. If you don't know how to use the fire, you could cause tzaras. You could make a fire. I remember that when my in-laws were moving into a new house. They left Brooklyn and they were moving to Queens, and they had to kasha the stove. So I said, "Don't worry, I'm going to take care of that. I'll kasha the stove." I took care of it, all right. Now that I can't take care of the stove, but I took care of the whole kitchen. So I'm standing there. I remember this, just picture this scene. I mean, because I was going there to kasha the kitchen for them. And I had done this many, many times when I was younger. I used to go kasha kitchens. I was a mashgiach in kitchens when I was first married to make some extra money. I knew how to do that. The thing was that there was a certain rod that gave me an eitzah to use. You ever see they used to, I don't know if they still have, they had these like charcoals in boxes. They came like eggs. So this was a new hamtza'ah. I had to get the oven. It wasn't a self-cleaning oven. I had to get it like going. So I said, oh, that sounds good. So when he told me that he used it in this hotel to kasha, I said, oh, so I'm going to do that. So I went and I bought these coals. I set the whole kitchen on fire. So I remember because my wife packed me like a pastrami sandwich to take there because she was so proud of her husband going to kasha her parents' house, you know. So she packed me a meal. And I remember sitting outside the house because I got out the pastrami sandwich. I didn't save anything else, but I got my pastrami sandwich out from the house. And I'm sitting down the steps. You know, I called the fire department. There's nothing else I can do, so why not eat? So I'm sitting there, and a fire truck pulls up. And I'm having my pastrami sandwich. And the guy comes out, this big guy comes out, and he says, let me guess, Rabbi, you know, you're kosherizing the house, kosherizing the kitchen. I said, you got it, buddy. Can we stop talking about this? And can you go inside? You know, well, I was busy having my pastrami sandwich. There was nothing I could do. I had to run out of the house, so I took my bag and I ate my sandwich. So I was able to wash also. I ran out now. I didn't save anything else. I just got my sandwich. So you understand that what happens if you don't know how to use a fire? It's dangerous. So what happens to a Jew that doesn't know how to use a fire? It means instead of that fire for davening and for learning, every Jew has a fire. Instead, you're sitting at work all day long screaming at people. You scream at your wife and your kids. Or I was at a chasna the other day, and there was a rabbi there that was telling me that he had some balabatim that they told him in advance that they're not going to slichas Motzei Shabbos. The first slichas not going to, because they had a kriyas every Motzei Shabbos to have a poker game. At that time, and they're not going to slichas. They told the rabbi that. I don't know what I had to tell him. So he said that, because I asked him, how's it going by you over there with your island? So he says, well, I'll tell you what's going on with my island. he says that they're playing poker, slichas night. So he did a gewaldig thing. He did a very good thing. He said, all right, but you know what? Can I come there, whatever, afterwards? Can I come and learn with you a little bit? He did a good thing. He learned with them, and hey, he's helping them come around. He's a good guy. So you have here Jews that are Shemitah Tari Mitzvah that are playing poker by Leil Slichas. They can't come to Slichas. How does it? There's a fire that a Jew has. Each and every one here has such kaiches, and myself, all of us have such kaiches to build corporations and to change mamish worlds and to do all kinds of things. There's such kaiches. And if they're good, it's good, but then the fire could be used for bad things. That same fire that's a taiva to thinking about God forbid the wrong things, that same fire that causes a taiva for a person to sneak over to an internet when no one's looking, he thinks no one's looking, and to turn on a picture to see something, God forbid. What happens if you're not that you're not accessing the fire, what happens if you're misusing the fire? Oy, oy, oy. It's one thing to be sitting in the cold and the dark, it's another thing to be sitting, God forbid, in the fires of impurity, in the fires of Gehenna, in the fires of Shmutz, of Tumah. So that's the Rebbe saying. You can cause a fire. Because a Jew is a fiery person. And if the fire is not going to be used for something good, something other things it could be used for. Then there's another yid that knows how to use the fire. And he could cook with it. His whole life is different. His whole life is warm and lichtig and machay. He heats up the food. He could heat up the room. Afmiro, he has nice light in the room from the fire. He says, "Kach at avach." So too, the Rebbe ends this parak and says, "So it is with you, young man. Hakol becha, Hashem berach as avram bakol." Every yid has that bracha of bakol. Everything is inside of you. Hakol becha, eish v'or shel kedusha, the fire and the light of holiness, Torah and rots and hisragshes. Everything is inside of you. Hakol bekirbecha, avot zerach ataladas eich l'shtamish becha v'toyv lach. You have to know how to use who you are, and it will be good for you. Aracha asher al raishcha, the light. He says, "Listen how beautiful the Rebbe ends. This is the most beautiful thing." The Rebbe says, after this entire section of the parak, the Rebbe is saying, basically, the Rebbe is saying, "I'm not sure I'm going to continue with this sefer." That's what he's been saying, right? How can I go on with this sefer? What am I wasting my time and your time, right? At the end of the Rebbe comes out and says, "What could I do?" Aracha asher al raishcha. The light that is shining, the Rebbe says, the light that I see shining over your head, Einenu maniach isi lishkot, doesn't allow me to remain silent. I have to talk to you. Because I see that light, I see the fire, I see the light that's shining on you. I can't be quiet. Urcha asha, your light that's shining out from you, asha arayishcha einenu maniach isi lishkot, doesn't allow me, I can't be quiet. Help, even though I'm taking a chance, I'm taking a risk that this is going to be just another sefer on the shelf. He says, El Pisgas Rum Chashatamuch Shal Alais, that great height of greatness that you are able to reach. Ani Mistakel, I see it. I'm looking at it. Vihitala Hateini. And it's pushing me forward. It's causing me, it doesn't give me rest. Uladabra Elacha, Hitzikasni, it's pushing inside of me and forcing me to speak to you. I have no choice because I see the fire, I see the light shining from you. I have no choice. Kum alei, ki Hashem imcha gibor achayal. Kum, get up, va'alei, he says, and climb. Ki Hashem imcha, because God is with you, gibor achayal. Can you imagine if every Rebbe saw that in his Talmud, that light? Not that I have to get up and teach, because I got to teach, because it's my panos, I have nothing else, I got to teach. But if a Rebbe felt like the Rebbe, he says that I see that light coming from you, I can't be quiet. How can I not talk to you? Even though my seichel is telling me, what am I doing? But I see what you could be, and I can't be silent. That's how a Rebbe teaches. That's how a parent talks to their child about their Rebbe Shalom. That's kum alei, rise up. Hashem imcha gibrachal. So there's Hashem. Perek Vav, the Rebbe gets back to the Lamaisa of the Sefer, which is, as you see from the title, Ha'emsoim Ish Misragish, the means, the ways, the actual ways of becoming an Ish Misragish. We'll continue next week.